The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Thursday, the 18th day of August 2022. I went out on a limb yesterday. I went full Pete Delkus. I said, I got a feeling, woohoo, got a feeling that yesterday was our final day of temperatures in the hundreds. I would love to be right about that. Today, amid some rain, a lot of folks got some rain overnight, and we're looking at highs in like the 80s today. And then before you know it, I mean, August rolls through. We got chances of rain for like the next 7 to 10 days on and off. And so maybe we're done with the triple digits. Wouldn't that be sweet? Well, we are sure done with Liz Cheney, but the media are not. The fantasies continue to roll out. And this is so funny because the leftist media culture has loved her as long as she remains a thorn in Trump's side. I have a brand new townhall.com column this morning. You can grab it at townhall.com on the front page, scroll down to the columnists, and boop, there I am. Or just go to Twitter at Mark Davis. I posted it a bit ago. It's called The Anatomy of a Political Suicide. People don't often blow their own brains out, metaphorically, politically speaking. Usually something ensnares them, some scandal, some flaw, something happens to them. Liz Cheney did this to herself, and soon we'll enter a time where I will blissfully ignore virtually everything this woman does. But for the couple of days following her magnificent crash and burn in Wyoming at the hands of Harriet Hageman, the media narrative is fascinating. Oh, she's going to really, mix things up in the GOP in 2024. Are you high? Are you kidding me? She would be absolutely steamrolled if she attempted to throw her hat in the ring in the Republican Party. And some of y'all gave me yesterday the notion of, independent candidacy. Just stop it. She has no natural constituency. This is not Ross Perot in 1992. Ross Perot entered into a race where there were Democrats with big questions about Bill Clinton, there were Republicans with big questions about George H.W. Bush, and they both found a natural destination in Ross Perot, who had a charisma, had an explicable appeal. Liz Cheney's appeal is inexplicable because it is non-existent. Her appeal exists only in the form of the media culture that loves her as long as she does their bidding, as the queen bee atop this January 6th dog and pony show committee. They love her for that. As soon as she's done and as soon as that's done and lies on the ash heap of history, they're not going to care about her anymore. Democrats are not going to vote for Liz Cheney. She's too conservative. And Republicans are not going to vote for Liz Cheney because she's a hate monger. So this notion of, possibly damaging independent candidate, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It was interesting how this happened, and I'll probably share my town hall column here in just a bit for those of you that are driving around, don't have time to go, posting that somewhere or sticking it on the fridge or reading it as you go about your morning. As we all go about our morning before we hop into various other topics, like we have a big name that is out there in the 2024 talk, and I am probably prepared to be done. probably prepared to be done with this big name. And I'll share that name in a minute and a half or so. That's how much time it usually takes to walk through our turnstile that helps us shape the day. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and fight for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, where our schools are safe, where our elections are reliable, where our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. We follow you, Lord. We know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, the big name. I often tell you that there's a long list of people whom I can have a basic admiration for, but it doesn't mean that I need them to be president of the United States. It doesn't mean that that will instantly translate to elevated interest that I have in them being president of the United States. The bar for that is really, really high, and it should be, and it should be for you too. Now, we're not all going to have the same standards. The bit of evidence I'm going to give you from yesterday in a speaking engagement, I don't know if it'll strike you as harsh. I hope not, because I want to wrap it in the abiding respect that I have for this man. But I'm seeing things through one dominant lens as we look at standard bearers for 2024. Are you a fighter? Are you willing to stand up to the left in the way that has become the energized GOP brand here in the Trump era? Trump can obviously do it and may run again. I totally believe DeSantis can do it. That's why interest in him runs so high. I have confidence in the fighting spirit of a Tom Cotton, of a Mike Pompeo. Heck, Rubio seems to be strapping on the gloves like every other day. Ted Cruz, please, long legacy of being a fighter. Why isn't there more Ted Cruz presidential buzz? Yeah, I mean, it's not out of disfavor. I'm going to give my personal answer before I get to the big name. I don't mean to dangle that in front of you. I think I've told you this. I'm going to tell you this again today. It is because of my love for Ted Cruz. I want him exactly where he is. We got some guys that can be president. If Trump's willing to tee it up, if DeSantis is there, I mean, there are some names. We have us some fighters. And I think my favorite thing is a dogged, determined fighter in the White House named Trump or DeSantis or whatever fighter makes himself available and is successful, and Ted Cruz in the Senate, exactly where he has been and having served us so well. It's why I told Ted Cruz on a stage at an event of ours, I don't want you on the Supreme Court. Not because you wouldn't be great on the Supreme Court. I said, we got constitutionalists on the Supreme Court, but if you leave the Senate, what do we get? Then what do we get? And I don't necessarily pretend that either that a Democrat would win that seat, but they sure would try. And I don't want to mess with that. And are we going to get some squish Republican? Am I absolutely confident that the Texas of 2022 will find and elevate a conservative as forceful, as effective, as reliable as Ted Cruz? I am not. That's why I want him right there. And I don't mean to stick a glass ceiling above Ted's head, but I have. So my favorite thing So if when I sit here and I don't throw Cruz out in my constant presidential sweepstakes, it's not because I don't love him. It's because I do love him. Does that make sense? If not, that's why we have phone lines. 866-660-5759. Speaking of calls, place them because we have some latitude. We have some elbow room. We're freed from the obligation of that Gallagher segment. Mike, I don't even know where Mike is. I truly don't. I'll try to get that info for you. Or maybe I'll just wait till Monday and he'll tell us. He's grabbing him a four-day weekend, and he certainly deserves it. So anyway, but that means that, you know, once we get rolling, we can roll right through the 735 and just keep on going. Okay, talk show boy, tell us who you're talking about. It's Pence. God bless him. He was a wonderful vice president. I mean, the best thing a vice president can do is be there as an ally, as a partner in a president's agenda. Did Pence do that for the Trump agenda? Absolutely. Every day. But then when you get to it's time to be your own person, it's time for you to be the candidate, then you get the real guy. You're no longer subsuming your instincts and your thoughts and your, political DNA. It's you're not no longer subjugating that to whoever the president is. It's all about you. And then you get to see the real guy. Now, I'm not hanging any of the bad verb, the January 6th. Don't use hanging and Mike Pence in the same sentence when you're talking January 6th. There was never any basis for Pence, you know, unilaterally waving off slates of electors that he didn't like or that struck him as coming from states with tainted results. There was never anything that he could have done about that. Right? So just leave that alone. The only thing I care about with regard to Pence is the only thing I care about is the first question I ask of anybody. It's why Nikki Haley is a non-starter for me. What neat lady, good governor of South Carolina, wonderful UN ambassador. Maybe she can have that gig again under the next Republican president, but not a fighter. There were about a couple of minutes there where I wondered about Kristi Noem out of South Dakota. Whether she buckled to the trans activists and the NCAA and others with regard to the women's sports bill in South Dakota. She came around and did, as an executive order, something that she found her legislature had done in a flawed fashion. So I think I'm pretty good with Kristi Noem at the moment. Maybe not as candidate material, as the nominee material, but maybe as running mate material. So what's the problem with Pence? The problem with Nikki Haley is kind of same deal. The trans activism, the culture wars. If you are not willing to saddle up for the culture wars, you are not acceptable to me. I'm sorry. You might be a swell person. You might have a good track record in whatever gig you've had. But no, you have got to be ready to armor up every day against the people who say it's okay for your son to become your daughter. Who say that it's okay to tell a kid they can choose their gender, to say it's okay, and not just on the gender stuff, but all manner of cultural stuff. And now the thing with Pence, where he revealed himself to be a weenie yesterday, was the notion of criticizing the FBI, criticizing federal law enforcement after the Trump raid. Mike Pence is mightily offended. He's calling on fellow Republicans, don't be criticizing the FBI. What? Now, look, I don't require FBI and Merrick Garland brickbats from every Republican, you know, on the planet. But if people are going to ask questions, pointed, principled questions about the FBI's political leanings, about Merrick Garland's embittered political hackery, I will not be scolded by Mike Pence. And that's exactly what he did in New Hampshire yesterday.
I also want to remind my fellow Republicans, we can hold the Attorney General accountable for the decision that he made. Mm-hmm. without attacking rank and file law enforcement personnel.
Who's doing that? Who's attacking rank and file? And who's going after like the individual agents? They do what they're told. The criticism is aimed at people doing the telling. Mike.
FBI.
Yeah. Please clap.
The Republican Party is the party of law and order.
Uh-huh.
Our party stands with the men and women who serve on the thin blue line at the federal and state and local level.
When they do right, when they do wrong, I mean, is Mike offended at the criticism that we've leveled at some of these Keystone cops in Uvalde? Was that problematic too, Mike? Because get ready. Here comes a sentence that is the point at which I am out on the Pence 2024 bid. Out! Wait for it.
And these attacks on the FBI must stop. Calls to defund the FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Write books. Be with the family. Live a long, happy, and prosperous life. And thank you for your service as a congressman, as vice president, and all of that. But I will not be scolded by Mike Pence. I will not have you or anyone scolded by Mike Pence for having a really sharp and critical view of the politically tainted world of federal law enforcement. I will not have it. I mean, I was squirrely on Pence anyway. I think my previous dossier on him, God, can we even use the word dossier anymore? thanks, Mr. Steele. Made it bad for a dossier is just a file you have on somebody. My previous stance on Pence was, we'll see. He was a really good, loyal vice president. Maybe he's got the goods to step up and be president. No, not a fight. This is a total cave to the establishment, to the normies. What a great word that is, normie. Normie is sort of colloquialism for people who are just chained to a status quo. Don't deviate from it. Don't offend anybody. Don't make any ripples. Just no.
The truth of the matter is, we need to get to the bottom of what happened.
No, no kidding.
We need to let the facts play out. But more than anything else, the American people need to be reassured in the integrity of our justice system.
Well, gee, Mike, if we need to be reassured of the integrity of the justice system, that must mean that the integrity of the justice system is in doubt. And if the integrity of the justice system is in doubt, why are you wagging your well-manicured finger at people who cast aspersions on that damaged integrity, Mike?
The very appearance of a recurrence of politics playing a role in decisions at the Justice Department demands transparency as never before.
And blah, 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 blah. Thank you, Mike Pence, for loyal service as vice president. Good guy, good Christian, good American, good patriot, not a fighter. Caving to the normies on criticism of federal, he's not a fighter, I don't think there's no going back on this. He can talk a good game moving forward, say some of the right things, but when somebody shows you what they are, believe them. And Mike Pence is not a fighter. My interest in Pence in 2024. Is precisely zero. My interest in your calls is maxed out. Grab a line, 866-660-5759. Plenty of things going on in the news. Let's tackle them all, 725. Brian, who's behind the kit here? Well, you'll recognize it here in just a second. You ready? Here we go. Well, that's Lou Graham. Gonna turn on me. Must be Foreigner. Oh, I could have done a hit or something. I mean, how many times can you hear Cold as Ice?
This is Counting Every Minute from Inside Information. Foreigner drummer Dennis Elliott, 72 today. Now, he left the band like 20 years ago. You ready for this? To become a sculptor. Oh, good for him. All righty. Hey, here's a guy who's in the job that he needs to be in. That is providing us news. Let's go to Gordon in the newsroom, then come back diving right into your calls. 866-660-5759. It's going to be a busy Thursday. Glad you are here. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon. Yeah, there you go. Can't look in her eyes. It is Patrick Swayze's birthday. So, ladies, just for you, from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, She's Like the Wind. This is a great record. She's like the wind. He co-wrote it. He wrote this. Patrick Swayze would have been 70. That is so crazy. Born this date, 1952, in Houston. Passed away like 13 years ago. Pancreatic cancer. Doggone it, man. Dirty Dancing is, God, it's the chick flick of all time. But you know what else it is? It's great. Nobody puts baby in a corner. Good Lord, dude. It's iconic on top of iconic. And I'll tell you something else. There's an underrated film, and that's that doggone Ghost with him and Demi Moore. Ghost is awesome. I was so hooked on Ghost. It was tremendous. And then even goofy, dumb, fun stuff like Roadhouse and Point Break. And then the early, Patrick Swayze, you get The Outsiders and Red Dawn. Just unbelievably loved. And I'll tell you what, maybe one of the most absolute memorable Patrick Swayze moments was Saturday Night Live, where he was a Chippendales dancer sharing the stage with a new guy, the also late and great Chris Farley. Is that Googleable? Is that YouTubeable? Patrick Swayze and Chris Farley as the Chippendale dancers? My Lord, I bust several guts. So happy birthday and continued great memories of Patrick Swayze. All righty, 866-660-5759. Let's hop to your calls. The first half hour, spent a lot of time outing Mike Pence as, constant gratitude for loyal service as vice president, good American, good congressman, wonderful man, love him in a lot of ways. But that's not the question. Question is, do you have it for 2024? Do you have it? Are you a fighter? And that's a no. And the audio was from Mike Pence scolding everybody who dares to ruffle, the hair of the FBI, or dares to suggest that federal law enforcement has a corruption problem, a bias problem, a political vendetta problem. I will not be scolded about that by Mike Pence. So sorry, Mike. Out. We're in Carrollton. Daryl, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Morning, Mark.
Hey.
I've got a suggestion for 24 for your vice president.
Yes?
Sarah Palin.
Hey! 16 years later, she's back. We could do worse. And everybody, for those that don't know, Sarah Palin may be on her way back to elected office. She is in that very weird Rube Goldberg device that is the Alaska election system. And she and I think a couple of other people are going to be on the ballot for Congress in November, and she may well prevail and be in the House of Representatives, which would be an interesting potential springboard. What makes you, I think I know, basic admiration, what makes you think of her?
Well, when she was announced initially as vice presidential candidate, mm-hmm. Who's the president running there?
John McCain.
Okay, McCain.
Yeah, and which says much about about that ticket. Is you remember her but don't remember him.
Well, anyway, she started walking down the aisle, and I said, "Man, I said, forget the vice president, run her for president. I can look at that."
That's tremendous. It is Honesty Day on the Mark Davis Show. Daryl, thank you. I was in the hall, the Xfinity Center. I don't know, probably the arenas change names like we change underwear these days. The Xfinity Center, St. Paul, Minnesota, where the Minnesota Wild and I guess the Timberwolves play there too. I don't even know. But it was fun being up there because it was 147 degrees here in DFW this first week of September. And in St. Paul, Minnesota, it was sunshine and like 78. Oh my gosh, it was great. It was so sweet. So I was there for the Republican convention that year. And that was the McCain-Palin convention. And everybody got a big snootful of Governor Palin. And the excitement about her was so palpable and so real. And she provided something that McCain himself, God rest him, did not bring. And that was conservative excitement. I mean, gratitude for his. You know what? Boy, full circle, not a fighter. That's kind of funny. Was McCain a fighter in the literal sense? Yeah, you get shot down over Vietnam, you're a fighter. You know, you endure some years in the Hanoi Hilton, you are a fighter. But when it came time, you know the kind of fighting I'm talking about. Fighting for the muscular, unapologetic conservatism that is our only path out of this hellscape that we find ourselves in. The only path. There was a time when Bush style, McCain style, James Baker style, and I cannot recommend highly enough a book called The Man Who Ran Washington, a biography of James Baker, a remarkable figure, an incredible American. And it's all about compromises and striking deals and glad handing and diplomacy, all of which have their place and all of which are important. But right now, we have to have a buzzsaw, an armored up fighter to do battle with the left because God knows they are at war with us. And we have got to be at war with them for the future of this country, for the soul of our society. And so if you're going to be, you know, putzing around, you know, with Mike Pence wagging a finger every time he gets his white hair mussed by the notion of somebody, you know, coming after the FBI or the attorney general, out, no. If you're going to have Nikki Haley tap dancing to the extremes of trans ideology, out, no. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't admire you. It doesn't mean I don't thank you for your service. But no, out. It is the era of, and when I say the era of Trump, I don't even mean, you know, cult of personality, idol, I-D-O-L, worship of him. Because that's why DeSantis is awesome too. It's about the results. It's about the attitude. It's about the fighting spirit. We have got to have it. There is no more important characteristic. I mean, obviously presuming we have someone with conservative thoughts, a good agenda, you know, solid ideas, good heart, good mind, the spine. The spine is what is so very, very important. And I'll tell you something. Sarah Palin had it. And has it still, I would certainly presume. Now, so loved her, and then I was at the foot of the stage at that magnificent moment of her about what's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull. Lipstick, and the place went nuts. She had a crowd of 20,000 in the palm of her hand. And then the campaign rolls out. She's still awesome. There were some moments where maybe she wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. And that was not helpful. But, you know, as I've said 5,000 times, you know, Barack Obama, you know, will do really well on Jeopardy, but was a terrible president. You know, I care about agenda. I care about ideas. I care about the fight. I care about all those things. So I don't know if Governor Palin, Congresswoman Palin, which we're about to start calling her perhaps after November, if she winds up in the buzz, you know, DeSantis Palin. So here's the thing, though. And then, all right, let's start another talk show. Will a woman on the ticket provide enough diversity? And this is funny because you know where I am about diversity. Diversity is lovely when it happens naturally. Diversity, equity, inclusion, these are wonderful ideas that have been ruined by their weaponization by the left, where right now it means that race baiting and racial preferences mean more than qualifications. The country is not helped by that. Your workplace is not helped by that. No school is helped by that. So when I talk about diversity on the ticket in 2024, it's because I want to win. And I think there are people, there are all kinds of people. It's like, you know, there are a lot of qualified folks. If we've got like a white man, nominee, which we probably will have, probably ought to be a running mate who is either not a man or not white. Just if that, whatever helps, man. And if that's, I tell you what, how old is Myra Flores? Now now it's kind of funny. People go, is she qualified enough? Well, was Governor Palin, you know? Hang on a second, because you got to be. She's 36. Yes, score. Very good. Very, very good. She's got to be 35 to be president. Okay, so Palin for VP. That could be awesome because I have a feeling that Governor Palin, soon to be Congresswoman Palin, perhaps is probably smarter, more seasoned. So God bless her, love her. I greatly, greatly look forward to her returning to important high elected office. And speaking of Alaska, this is so funny. I just chuckle every time I say this name. It's not Kelly Chewbacca. It's Chewbacca, T-S-H-I-B-A-K-A. She is running against Rhino Lisa Murkowski in Alaska. And again, in that weird ranked choice voting Alaskan thing. But that would be awesome if she won. She was on Hannity last night, and she's just great. So and isn't this wild? All this buzz, all this talk, all this significance pouring out of some of our states that are the most vast in terms of square mileage and the most sparsely populated: Alaska, Wyoming. Big news of late. All righty. And we're talking about all of this big news with you. So let me take a pause, come back, and hop right back into Mike's out for today and tomorrow. So look at what it enables us to sling hot topics back and forth. What's not to love? 866-660-5759. More of you next. Mark Davis, 751.
Jumped on the shelters to get away.
Let's go down under.
The boys are cocking up their guns.
Little minute work.
General, is it party time?
And it's a mistake. I know it could have done Down Under, Who Can It Be Now? But they were awesome. Colin Hay out front. But the birthday, is guitarist Ron Streichert. Good find, listeners. He's 64 today.
It's no use after crying.
Born this date in 1957 in Corumburra, Australia. Is that like the bird? That's a coot. God. That's a kookaburra. God. Wasn't there some stupid song in fifth grade? Kookaburra sits in the old gum tree. Merry, merry king of the bush is he. Laugh, kookaburra, laugh. How do I know that? I can't find my car keys. I know the kookaburra song. It's the Mark Davis Show. God, all right. Well, you'll never have those 2 minutes back. Listen, rather than, I will not put a call on for 30 seconds now, having wasted everybody's time with the kookaburra song. That would be wrong. So sit tight, everybody. Let's hop into the news. Get there on time. That'll be a shock for everybody at SRN and Gordon Griffin. And we'll come back, hop right under your calls. Got 2024 talk, running mate talk. Who's a fighter? Who's not? Today is, this afternoon, is this judge, this Bruce Reinhardt, who's the same Obama-loving guy, that signed off on the warrant. He's supposed to be the guy who determines whether the affidavit sees the light of day. Good luck with that. So we'll take a look at all of that. I got my Liz Cheney political suicide column. Much to do. Lots of time to do it. Glad you're here Thursday. Don't anybody move. Grab a line, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.